The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
Good morning again. It's good to see you. I was told by several folks that I have to be quick today because we've got places we have to go. So I'm going to do my best to be as brief as we can. And honestly, we share a little bit just of how some of this works. I always thought this part of being a pastor would be the absolute easiest part. I sat under guys and I would sit back and I guess I can, I don't know if I can tell stories on other people. I guess I can. I sat under one pastor who, our daily bread devotional, he would read word for word out of that for his Sunday morning message. I was like, that's all you got, man? I mean, like, it's good stuff, but like, come on, you gotta put a little bit of effort into it. I had another guy who I sat under and he would preach the same thing, it seemed like, week after week after week, and I was like, anything new would be good at this point in time. I mean, you could just say like one new thing and it'd be interesting. And I always sat back as a member of a church and said, that's got to be the easiest thing to do. It's just you stand up there and you talk about what God's doing in your life. Can I just share with you, it's the hardest part of my job? Because here's the thing. What God's telling me is probably going to be repetitive to you because I'm thick-headed, and time again, God has to drill things into my head before I get it. So if I just tell you what I'm going through, you're like, hey, yeah, John, we got that like 3 weeks ago, man. Let's move on. Let's get something different. But then I have to look and I say, okay, well, how about everybody as a group? Where's our fellowship? Where's our church? What are we involved in? What are we doing that we need to hear? And so all these different things kind of run through your head and try to make these things come to something that makes sense and makes your time here worthwhile. And this morning, I feel like I just wanted to encourage you. I hope that you leave here today saying, hey, you know what? Man, we can do this. Whatever it is that you can do this. I hope that you leave here today encouraged and strengthened to continue on. And there's one passage of Scripture that stood out to me as I was thinking through this, and it's Colossians chapter 1. In specific, it's verse number, 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard that has now been proclaimed to every creature under heaven in which I, Paul, have become a servant. That passage it drew me in this week. And my prayer for you and my hope for you is that whatever's going on, you continue on. Ever feel like life's daunting? Taxing? And here's the crummy thing. You ever feel like life is so repetitive that it's not fun? You wake up, you do the same thing every single day. It's mundane. It's boring. And like, it's just dredging through. You start out the day just to go to bed. Some night this week, we went to bed. We did go to sleep this week at some point in time. And Kelsey said, I hate this because I feel like we're just rushing to get to bed to get up and do the exact same thing tomorrow. And I was like, that's kind of life sometimes. And if we're not careful, we lose in that this ability and this idea that every single moment of your life is meaningful and impactful. Every single moment of your life is a God-given gift to you to reach somebody with the good news about Jesus Christ. And so when we become so bogged down, we become so mundane, we become so overwhelmed by just the routine and stuff of life, sometimes it's easy to lose that passion to live your life with the intensity that every single moment has got to count for the gospel. So we're going to look at this passage today, and it's Colossians chapter 1, and we're just going to work through it, because to me this tells us a lot about continuing on in our faith. It starts out, and Paul says this: for God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now, he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you as holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the help held out in the gospel, this is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, in which I, Paul, am able to become a servant. Now I rejoice in what I am suffering for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regards to Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, which is the church. I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in its fullness, the mystery that has been kept hidden from ages and generations, but is now disclosed to the Lord's people. To them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of his majesty, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, we strenuously contend with all energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Now, if you've been around church, does anybody notice how every church has its own lingo? You know, like all churches have words like redeemed or sanctified. You ever try to explain redeemed or sanctified to a kid? There are other words, dispensations. I can't spell that word, but then I know it's a church term. There's all these different church terms that every church kind of has, but every church also has specific lingo. One of the phrases that I'll never forget from the first conversation I had with Michael Moore, 4 years, 5 years, I don't know how long ago it's been, several years ago. He called me on the phone and he was talking about us coming out here and we were having a conversation and he kept using a word fellowship. He didn't call it a church body, he didn't call it a church, he called it a fellowship. And it was something that was so unique that it stuck with me because that's what this is. This is a fellowship. This is a fellowship of believers. And it's more than just a church. It's camaraderie. It's a family. And that was a phrase that this church was unique to it. I watch Rocky. He isn't here. I don't know where he is right now. But he and Michael send me reels all the time on some form of social media. I don't know how to use it. But one of the ones, it got me looking at this different thing. And it was five different churches, and every church was saying the same thing. They said that life is better in circles. And every pastor got up and he said the same, like the exact same phrase. And it was funny because, like, I don't know where they got it from or how they got it to each other. But, like, they're talking about how life should be lived in circles. And there's this thing and God's desire for you is to live in circles. And every pastor said the same thing. And it was kind of funny. And that's a terminology that's around some churches. The church we came from, Alabama, the pastor drilled this into our head for years and years and years. We're a believing, belonging, and committed church. Every Sunday for about 3 years, that was his 3 points. Believing, belonging, committed. I have no clue what that meant after my 3-year time there. But that was a phrase and that was a lingo that was used at that church. Here we have three phrases too. And it's been a while since we've talked about them, but the three phrases that we came up with a couple years ago were inviting, engaging, and igniting. And that's kind of three things that we want to always keep at the forefront of our church. And so what's interesting is I looked through this passage, how those three things came in. But before we dig into that, the very first thing that you and I have to do is this. We have to remember the gospel that brought you salvation. I used to think when I was a younger Christian, I only needed to hear the gospel one time. I heard it. I liked it. I said, that's what I want to do. I don't have to hear it again. I've already done that. That decision's been made. As I've gotten older in my Christian walk and as I've grown, I've learned that really the gospel is good to repeat to myself over and over and over again. It's good to remember the gospel. Now, we know the gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but there's also this idea that the gospel is simply this. I'm a sinner. Christ died on the cross for my sins so that I can have a relationship with God. That if I can boil the gospel down, that's about as simple as I can make it. But in that, there's so many things that we need to remember. Like, I know it's quiet and it's early for some of y'all. Why is it good to remember the gospel? Why do you think we're going to have some interactions tonight? So you can share with other people? Yeah, eventually if you forget what you are supposed to be sharing, it's really hard to share. What else? To keep your faith strong? Okay, yeah. The gospel's a glaring reminder that, hey, listen, I can't do this on my own. And so my faith has to be in Christ. And if my faith is in Christ for my eternity, then my faith is going to be in Christ for everyday living. Great. What else? What's another good reason?
Lest you forget.
Hold on.
Lest you forget.
Lest you forget. Yeah, to avoid from becoming self-righteous, right? If I think that I'm better than everybody else and I've got everything together, the gospel's quick to remind me, hey, listen, your stink is just as bad as anybody else's stink. Your pumpkin, Your pumpkin seeds are just as bad as anybody else's pumpkin seeds. What was the other one? Somebody said. Focus on the end goal. The gospel helps remind us that there's an end goal. We have something that we're working for and we're working towards. And all these reasons are good reasons to remember the gospel. You and I, as followers of Christ, do not need to hear the gospel one time and think we never need to hear it again. We need to keep it in front of our mind constantly, in front of our hearts constantly. It keeps us focused. It helps us from getting out of touch with realities. It helps our faith grow. It helps remember what we're supposed to be sharing. All these things are benefits of remembering the gospel. That's what Paul says in the very first two verses here. He talks about the fullness of God, how the fullness of God, he came and his desire was to bring you to him. And Paul starts out the very first two verses in this passage reminding you and I of the gospel that you and I believe and the gospel that we claim as our salvation. He goes on in verse 21, he talks about how this, you were once alienated, enemies of God. The second thing we have to do is we have to keep inviting people. Sorry, the first thing we have to do. The first thing we need to remember the gospel. Second thing is keep inviting. What's that mean? That means that the phrase that Paul uses here is aliens and enemies to express how far away we are from God. In Ephesians on Wednesday night, our Bible study, we went over and we found out that we were powerless, homeless, peopleless, and hopeless. That's how Paul describes it in Ephesians. He says, you were so far from God that had it not been for God inviting you into a relationship with him, you would still be lost. You would still be powerless because there's nothing you can do in order to earn God's love. You would still be peopleless because you would not have a fellowship of a body of believers that you belong to, that you could unite together in, that you could see each other through difficult times. You would be hopeless because without Christ, there is no hope. And he says, listen, had it not been for God inviting you into a relationship with him, you would still be there. Now, here's the thing. Does God just invite us into a relationship? That is like one time and done, right? No, he invites you. If Kelsey and I got married May 24th of 2014, is that right?
Yes.
Trying to earn some brownie points. It's been a long week at our house. I'm trying to make up for some bad time. If we had gotten married and said yes at the altar, did all that stuff, and then I went my way and she went her way, and we never saw each other, never lived in the same house, never went on dates, never did anything, are we really in a relationship? No. Christ doesn't invite us to have a one-time commitment where we come down to an altar, we say a prayer, we fill out a card, we get baptized, and then we go and do our own thing. He says, listen, I want you to walk in a daily relationship with me. I want you to walk with me daily. The invitation isn't a one-time deal. The invitation is daily. Hey, listen, what's your next step? What's your next step? What's your next step? Are you going to walk with me here? Are you going to go with me here? I'm calling you to go do this. Are you going to walk with me? Are you going to continue to walk with me? And so the invitation continues for you and I. It's not just a one-time deal. It's a continual invitation where God is continuing to invite us to take our next step. Whatever that looks like for you, God is inviting you to take your next step. The other thing is, it's not just for us to do that, but it's also for us to invite other people into that same relationship. We all know people who are hopeless, who are helpless, who are homeless and peopleless. God's desire for you and I is to reach out and keep inviting them to know him. Man, one of the things we're getting ready to do today, and listen, this begins our season of outreach, I think. From here up until Easter, well, no, from here up until Vacation Bible School, for sure. It's like outreach, 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 outreach. And the whole goal of that is, hey, listen, man, we just want to invite you to come hear about Jesus. We just want you to hear about Him. We just want to make a connection with you so that you understand that there is a God who loved you enough that He is inviting you to have a relationship with Him at the cost of His very Son. So as you and I continue to take our next steps of faith, our goal should also be to invite everyone to hear that as well. No one is too far gone. So continue to invite them. Keep engaging. If you read 22 through 24, Paul talks about how God has now reconciled us. He's brought us in. He's made us a part of the body of Christ. He helps us to stand before God holy and blameless. It's the idea that we are not just in a decision relationship, but it's an active, involved, engaging relationship. Again, going back to a marriage, if all I did was make a commitment at some point in time, but I never actively engaged in a relationship with my wife, would our marriage be good at all? No. But man, there's so many of us as Christians who we make a decision, we make a commitment, we do whatever, but we never engage in what God's doing. What Paul tells you here is that not only are you engaged by God saving you, by God allowing you to stand blameless and without blemish before Him, but now you can engage in service. Paul says, I'm a prisoner of, or not on this one, he says, I'm a servant of Jesus. You and I are called as Christians that once we become Christians, once we enter into this relationship, God calls us to engage in service. What's that mean? It means to work. It means to do something. Listen, you are not saved to sit on a church pew. You are saved to engage and be an active part of the body of Christ. This morning, Ms. Bonnie and Ms. Janet were talking about the talent that God has brought together in this church. It's remarkable. Man, it is phenomenal what God's doing in our church, but guess what? There are still things that we're waiting to do because we have people that are sitting out here that need to get involved, that need to do it. You're saying, oh no, I'm too busy, I can't do this, I can't do that, I'm not as talented, I'm not as gifted. No, you're not, may not be that person's talented and gifted, but you are talented and gifted in your way, the way that God has crafted and designed you, and you need to be engaged in serving. It's what you have to do, it's what we have to do as part of the body of Christ. You see, you have this invitation, and once you have the invitation, you come and you get engaged. You get engaged in the work and the mission of the gospel. You and I as a church need to continue to get engaged, keep it and getting engaged. The last thing is keep igniting. 25 through 29, Paul goes on, he talks about this. He talks about everything that God has revealed to him, he has then returned and revealed to other people. The idea, the premise is this: as God teaches you something, what should you do with it? This little light of mine. Right. And then y'all remember this one? Hiding under a bushel?
No.
Right. Why? Because I'm going to let it shine. So all of a sudden, God gives you this phenomenal insight, this wonderful word from his scriptures. And He reveals it, and He makes it personal, and He brings it alive in your life. And you sit back and say, oh man, isn't this light so good? It's wonderful. This is the best news I've ever had in my entire life. I'm just going to keep it right here. No. Man, we don't do that with anything in our life. Man, how many of you have seen pictures of girls doing this number right here? Well, actually, it's this number right here. They got an engagement ring, and all of a sudden they're showing up. Y'all don't see those pictures? I don't know what that stance was. I didn't know how else to get my hand up here. Or you guys have gender. I had a cousin that had a gender reveal that didn't know he was having a gender reveal the other day. He just, a bunch of people showed up over at his house, and he's like, "Oh, we're having a boy." Like that was their gender reveal. But like we don't keep good news to ourselves, do we? Man, everything in life we publicize, we put out there, we blast social media, we blast all kinds of things with good stuff. But when it comes to what God does in our life, I just want to keep this one close. If I tell people what God's doing in my life, They might think I'm a little weird. We all are. Be weird. It's okay. But this is what God's doing in your life. And instead of sharing it with other people, we're keeping that little fire just close enough to us. We're under a burn ban, so I haven't done this recently, JP. But my kids have become obsessed with lighting fires. Y'all pray for me. The other day I walked out and nope, not the other day. A while ago. I walked out and I had some paper towels in our little fire pit out back, and all of a sudden that little paper towels wasn't just like paper towels anymore. There was a flame. And they were going around grabbing sticks from the backyard and throwing them on top. And they had started a fire all by themselves. And it was a little concerning to me. But one of the things I realized is this, is that when you light a match and you hold it in your hand, what happens? Burns. It's warm for a second, right? Eventually it gets down to here and it gets really hot in your hand and you feel the heat from it and you let it go. But what happens when you take one match and you add another match to it? And you add another match to it, and you add a stick to it, and all of a sudden you add some paper towels that are soaked in bacon grease, and all of a sudden you don't have just one little light that's keeping one person warm. You have a raging inferno in the backyard of your house during a burn ban that you shouldn't have, and everyone around it is being kept warm. And that's us in our Christian life. What Paul says here is, listen, God did not give you insight. God has not given you wisdom. God has not revealed things about His Word to you for you just to keep to yourself. His desire and His goal is that when He ignites something in you, that you would take that flame and you would put it next to somebody else and you would ignite something in their life. And that would cause a roaring fire. He uses this phrase to end that passage. He says, I strenuously contend with all energy. It speaks about passion and drive that can't be quenched. Man, listen, church, if Christ, if God has ignited something into your life, are you striving? Are you contending with all the energy that you have to share that with other people? Are you resting back and saying, man, isn't this little bit of warmth good? Keep igniting. When we look at this, and the graphic we have is this. As you ignite, or as you invite, you engage. As you engage, then you ignite, and you go back and you start to invite different people. And it's this circle that goes round and round and round. And as I thought about that, again, these were the words that came to mind. Invite. God has invited us to know Christ, to take the next step in our walk with God. As a church, we will invite others to events, to groups, to church, and we will invite others to come into a relationship with God. Y'all, we are on the brink of some really good stuff in our church. Will you invite others to be a part of this? You know what the best kept secret in Caddo Parish is? Morris Court Baptist Church. Because we got people all around us who have no clue how good God is. We have people that we can throw rocks and hit their house that have no clue how good God is. They could walk here. They have no clue how wonderful, friendly, loving, gracious, generous, magnificent you are because of what God's done in your life. Engaging. God has made you a part of the body of Christ. He has brought you into this fellowship. So my question for you this morning is, will you or we will engage with our community and our culture with the good news of the gospel? Igniting. God has, through the work of the Holy Spirit, commissioned and revealed to you the hope of glory, which is Christ. We will ignite our community, our parish, and our world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We will use the gifts God has given us to reach the world with this good news. Let me, I don't know exactly how this worked in the notes, but can I just tell you one thing? You all have done a phenomenal job of this. I'm so proud. And I know we're not supposed to be proud, we're not supposed to brag, but man, I brag on y'all all the time. I love going to other pastors' conferences and things like that. Because they're all sitting there like, huh? My church has John Paul. John Paul doesn't do anything in my church. I don't even know why he's there. John Paul's not smart enough to do anything. I'm just messing out with you, buddy. You know what I say? Like, dude, my church is phenomenal. I love my church. My church does stuff that I never thought God would ever do through them. And I get to watch all this stuff where God changes your life. God reveals things to you. God ignites passions in you. God ignites desires in you. And you get to go out and you get to tell your friends and you bring your friends here. You are inviting and engaging and igniting our community like I have never seen a church do before. And I am so proud to be your pastor. I brag on you guys constantly. Keep going. Because there's still more to do. Will you continue to do these things? Will you continue to do this? The last question I have for you is this. Do you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ enough to let it invite you into a deeper relationship with God? To engage you with your life today and to ignite a passion in you that craves more? That good news that introduced hope into your life. The good news that one time you were aliens, you were enemies of God, but God invited you into a relationship with you. He puts you as a part of His body. He has ignited in you a passion through the work of His Holy Spirit. Do you believe that enough to actually continue to do these things? Are you content to come in here Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm glad I'm saved. We've done some good things. God's done some good stuff in my life. But this is enough. And sit still. I firmly believe God gave me ADHD or ADD or some kind of 80 something or other. I can't sit still. In my life, I can't sit still. In my church, I can't sit still. In my spiritual life, I can't sit still. I pray that each and every one of you would have spiritual ADD. ADHD. You can't sit still. Because as God is igniting and revealing things to you, you are just igniting something remarkable in our world. God, we thank you for today. Father, I thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would help encourage us to continue on. And God, as you reveal things to us, as you call us, as you invite us to take further steps of faith, Lord, that the invitation would not just settle in our hearts and God, that we would make a one-time decision, but God, that it would be followed up by engaging, by being an active part of what you're doing in this fellowship. God, I pray revival would start from this church. God, that as you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, ignite a passion in this fellowship, that God, it would sweep across our community, our parish, our state, our country, and our world. And God, it would start because you ignited something in us. Knowledge of the good news of Jesus Christ. And God, we would boldly walk forward to whatever it is that you have for us. Lord, we thank you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for what they're doing. And Lord, how they're moving to reach this community and this world with the gospel. God, I pray that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, and Lord, that you would just continue to ignite a fire in them that no one could quench. Lord, I pray during this time of invitation and decision, Lord, that as we worship you, Lord, you would help us to be obedient to what you're calling us to do. And Father, if there are decisions that need to be made today, God, that we would make those decisions and not delay. Lord, that we would let what you've ignited in us ignite something in someone else. In Jesus' name we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.